Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. It's Mary, the Mary Gardner Show. I'm so excited that you're here today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been so fun getting to know some of you. And if you ever want to call us or talk to us, go to marygardner.com. And we'd love to hear your suggestions, your comments, and fun things. Well, today I'm so thrilled that I'm bringing you on a very special guest. You know, I really enjoy hearing amazing stories. And sometimes you meet people that are just different. And you know that when they walk in the room, it feels like it's like that fresh breath of fresh air. And their smile is really steady. Their spirit is calm. Their presence almost changes you and charges you up. And you think to yourself, what have they walked through to shine like that? Because I've learned something as I've gotten older is that people that have that kind of inner light usually earned it. You know, they've been through the fire and they face the dark. And sometimes and somehow they chose hope anyway. And today's guest is exactly that kind of person. I first heard about her years ago through my boyfriend because he worked at Catholic Charities in Kansas City. And she had just come out of being in prison for 36 years. And after 36 years, instead of bitterness, she showed up with gratitude, humility, and hard work, so much that Catholic Charities hired her. Now, here's the thing. She was not supposed to be in prison ever. Not once, not one day. She was framed. So we're going to hear about the story today. But years later, I can only call it a divine appointment. We actually were in Kansas City and we were in the middle of the town and we heard and saw this event going on. And Chris, we heard what kind of people that were illegally or not supposed to be prisoned, and they were all on stage. And Chris said, I wonder if Judy Henderson is there. And we ran down, and all of that moment, she ran up to the stage and she started talking. And so afterwards, I got to meet her face to face. And I said, oh my gosh, this is one of those kind of people, one of those bright lights. Her story, I will warn you, is heartbreaking, courageous, and unbelievably inspiring. She had a really difficult childhood, manipulated into a crime that she didn't commit, sentenced to life in prison, and somehow became a source of strength and hope to everyone around us. And now she's sharing the journey through that, her inner beautiful, best-selling, amazing, very rewarded book. We'll hear about that later, When the Light Finds Us. Friends, you are going to love this woman. Please help me welcome Judy Henderson. Judy, it's so good to have you here today.
Thank you, Mary. It is such an honor to be here. Even though I know you're in Florida and I'm in Missouri, it's still okay. I still love being here. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I would tell you, I mean, you and I are friends and we've become friends over time. And I just have always enjoyed and loved the spirit you bring to life. And you have been through the storm. And you are somebody that lights people up. You are somebody, you're even in a job right now where people are coming into Catholic Charities and you get to be that source of inspiration. And so I'm excited that you're going to be a source of inspiration to me today and to the people who get to watch our show or listen to our show today. So I want to talk to you about how it all happened. So take us back to little Judy. What was your childhood like before everything changed?
Well, my childhood, Mary, was I was the oldest of eight children, so let's start there. And my mother had myself and two brothers, and then she waited 5 years to have five more children. Mm. And so I, of course, was the oldest and female, so I was the one that got to be the nurturing mini mother, you know, that would assist my mom in helping bathe and getting them dressed and reading them books and just being maybe like a little model of her.
Aww.
And actually, that's what I became. My mother taught me everything I knew. She taught me not only how to be a lady, how to be happy in bad situations, but she also was an abused woman all of these years. Yet she was very motivated. She was very inventive. She was an entrepreneur. She was such a good role model, and I can't remember a time that my mother ever laid a hand on me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry to hear that. But if you take us back a little bit at that point, what did you dream or hope for? And then did you ever have any early signs of strength or resilience even back then?
I would have to say that actually I did. Unbeknownst to me, I would create it. Because I did not know I had it until I walked through the fire and I made it to the other side.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You never know what strength you have until you are in the middle of a situation.
Isn't that the truth?
And yes, it is. And then you realize when you get to the other side of it, oh my gosh, I made it. I did it.
Now, did you have any, did abuse continue in your childhood at all? Or was it your mother? Okay.
No, my father was a semi-working alcoholic, if you if you want to define it as that. He still held down the job, but he was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
He was an abuser to my mother, and me being the oldest, I was very protective of my siblings, so therefore I took the brunt of his anger, and he was very abusive to myself.
Oh my gosh.
And I always thought it was my fault. You know, I thought it was something I learned early that I must have done something wrong. You know, I didn't make him happy. I didn't smile the right way, or I did something that I wasn't really aware of, but I didn't know what it was. So I was very confused as to why I was getting the brunt of all of his abuse.
I was going to ask you if those experiences like shaped your view of yourself. It sounds like it did, and that your view of yourself in the world.
It did. It did, Mary, because I felt like I wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, and remember, you know, abuse is learned behavior.
Mm.
And so my mother being abused, I saw her strength of going through it, and she survived, and she kept moving forward, and she kept the family together. You could eat off of her floor. It was so clean. Nobody, not even the preacher, could walk in with shoes on his feet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. But inevitably, and a lot of people do hide it really well when they're going through abuse, and the cleanliness and things like that can really make the outside world think that, oh, everything is perfect. If you were to look back at your earlier you, what would you say to your younger version of you at that time?
My younger version at that time was somebody that already was being groomed and conditioned to have to go through what the future was about to deal her, unbeknownst to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to be have to be resilient. She was going to have to be courageous. She was going to have to be brave.
Yeah.
So I would have to say to that young girl, it won't always be like this. You're going to be blessed beyond all measure.
Mm.
You're going to receive gifts that God has for you that you didn't even know existed.
Wow.
And that he's already given you all the strength and courage and resilience that you need from the time you were born.
Oh my gosh. And you have it. There's no doubt. And I know that the next question I have, because I already know how kind everyone is to you because you're such a joy in so many people's lives. But at that point in your life, was there anyone that showed you a light or kindness outside of your family or anybody that gave you that kind of security or confidence in yourself to know that?
I had a grandmother on my father's side that was very gentle and very kind and very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a funny little anecdote, but she had a whisker on one side of her her lip. And it would always tickle me whenever she
kissed
would give
you?
Me a kiss or something. And, girl, do you know that I have that same little whisker and I have to pull it?
Okay, I don't know one woman in the entire world that's going to thank the Lord for a whisker on their chin. I'm telling you, or on their lip. You are the only one, Judy. But see how you turn things around and you make, you know, you make just a lemonade out of lemon. That's hysterical.
Yeah, so, it was like, I know my grandmother has been with me all this time. You know, she's still with me. I feel her whisker.
Thank you for sharing that. That's so funny.
I love that. You know, I have to be honest with you. I've never shared this before in my entire life. <It's> and just, I don't know what. See, you just bring it out.
It's just you. It's just the girls. That's it. We're just hanging out with the girls. Just you and me today. Yeah. So that's so funny. Well, when did you start to feel like you wanted a different life? You went through obviously a lot. But when did you like, okay, that's enough. I'm had it of this crap. And we only have about a minute or so left.
Well, you know what? I went through a 12-year abusive marriage. So whenever I had the courage to divorce him, I thought, this is it. But it wasn't it. It was not it. But I had the courage to make a change in my life at that time. I just didn't know how that change was going to affect me in the near future within a year of that change.
Did you get married early?
I did. I was 18.
Okay.
And my daughter at 19.
So you basically went for an abusive house. Was your husband abusive also?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. Yes, very much so.
And the first time that happened, what did you do?
It was learned behavior. I thought it was normal.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I saw my mother go through it and she stayed. She did not leave.
Wow. Okay. So you did. You just saw it and you were like, okay, this is the way it goes. Because, and let me just make a quick comment. If anyone is in a case like that, it is not normal. Abuse is not normal in a relationship. Exactly. And what needs to happen is to report it immediately and to get away from the abuse because it does become a pattern. And as you said, it is learned behavior. And those of us who have, gone through difficult things, I haven't gone through physical abuse, but I understand so many of my friends have. But I know that life has a way of putting us at crossroads, and sometimes one relationship can change everything. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're talking to Judy Henderson, and she is an author, and talking about her experience of being unfairly jailed and prisoned for 36 years and has come out the most amazing, bright, shining star. And so stay with us and have a word with our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Judy Henderson.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary, and we are having such an amazing conversation today with Judy Henderson, who is the author of When the Light Finds Us. I just found out that she is a gold medal winner from the Illuminate Book Award?
The Illumination Book Award
For Best Biography and Memoir. And so the gold medal. This is huge. Judy, congratulations on that. That's such an amazing award. And I've loved the book. And it's on Amazon. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
And it is in the Christian category.
Okay, fantastic. It's so good. The story. I read the book. I couldn't put it down. So we're talking about Judy Henderson's story of how she grew up with abuse with her family. And it just became a normal thing. It was how she grew up. She saw her mother being abused. She got married at age 18. She had her first child at 19. It was just a part of it. But I want to hear about, how did you meet the man who ultimately changed the course of your life after your divorce?
Okay, I met this gentleman through a friend that I was dating. We were just casually dating, and I met him at a very nice, elegant restaurant. And he was very suave and debonair, wore a three-piece suit, was a real estate broker, had been in the ministry at one time, and he was very charismatic, very friendly, very talkative, and we just started the conversation, and it just continued, and it was very pleasurable. It was very enjoyable to be in his company at the moment.
What made you trust him?
I think because we did, we ended up going to out of town together. In one vehicle. He had a real estate convention. I was, believe it or not, going to meet with my ex-husband and see if we could reconcile because of the children. We had a son, and I felt very guilty because he was without his father. And that meeting did not turn out well. On the way home, my the gentleman that I started dating and who later became my co-defendant, he was very empathetic. He was very concerned about why I was upset, and he was very kind and very nice and gentle, and he started talking to me about it. I mean, like, he was genuinely interested.
Right.
And, so that just really, I wasn't used to that.
Yeah, it kind of threw you for a loop, and you're like, okay, let's do this. But what was the first thing, the first sense that something wasn't right with him?
You know, I didn't realize something wasn't right with him until after, and that's sad because I did not meet him until April, and he moved into my home in June, and the crime happened in July.
Walk us through the day that everything fell apart.
The day that everything fell apart was... whenever I came home from picking my son up at the nursery, because I owned a business, and I was on my way home, I picked up my son, came into the house, and I was walking down to the bedroom, and he was in the bedroom because I was going to go in and change clothes. We were going to take the kids to the park, and all of a sudden he said, "No." No, we're not doing that. And I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "We're going to do something else."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, well, that's whenever I realized that he was planning something that I didn't know was going to cause someone to lose their life."
Oh my gosh! And you were,
and I still could not believe it. It didn't seem real.
Mm.
You know, because I trusted that nobody was going to get hurt. It was just going to be a conversation, and that it didn't end up like that.
Well,
and I ended up getting shot in the process.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you were essentially kidnapped that day. I mean, you were manipulated. How did that feel emotionally and mentally to know the guy that you trusted, that you really cared for, all of a sudden was putting you in danger?
Right. I was in shock. I can't put it any other way. It was just like I was outside of myself looking at a movie and could not believe that I saw blood running down my own skin, my own stomach. I could not believe the sounds of the gunshots that I was hearing. I could not believe that this man that I thought was so gentle and kind and had been in the ministry would be capable of doing something so heinous.
And what was the what was that?
He shot him in cold blood.
Oh my gosh! So you witnessed it?
Yes, yes.
And then he framed you. Obviously, you were blamed for a murder that you didn't commit.
Correct.
When you realized that you were being blamed for a murder you didn't commit, what went through your mind?
I thought, I just can't be real. He's not going to let me go to prison. He says he loves me so much. You know, how could you love somebody and put them in that kind of a situation? But I learned later, when we had the same attorney representing both of us, which he wanted, he also wanted him as his attorney, that just gave him even more control, more manipulation as to what my defense would be, which would be no defense.
Yes, no defense. So on the day that you were kidnapped, were you warned that you were about ready to be involved with something, or did it just happen spontaneously?
No, it just happened spontaneously. I did not have any clue that this type of situation was going to occur in the manner that it did.
And they were in some sort of legal or business matter that went awry? Is that what happened?
Correct. Eventually, that's what it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm. And then you were caught in the middle. And then in the court, the legal process, obviously, it was incredibly difficult. Did he frame it that you were the one that was guilty?
He was under the, he had the same attorney representing him as I did. But on the side, he was seeing two other criminal attorneys. And once I was convicted, then he used those other attorneys to get him acquitted. And he said that he was not at the scene, that I committed the crime, and that he was someplace else. And I walked in this lounge, and he was sitting at the bar. He paid the bartender to say that I came in with blood all over my dress, which if anybody knows me, they would know I would never go anywhere looking anything except top-notch.
Right. Oh, yes, absolutely.
But that got him, that helped him with his case, of course.
So he paid people off, basically, because he was a big real estate agent, and you were a hairdresser, or you were a working mom, and you were unaware of these type of things, the manipulation. And so he saw a vulnerable person that could be a scapegoat and get rid of somebody who challenged him and who was his enemy. And you were the person that he selected to go under. What a horrible, horrible experience that you went through. And did you, I guess you probably did have a moment of like, this cannot be happening to me.
Right. Yes. Yes. I could not believe it. And the only thing that saved my life from me being also a victim, whenever the other person involved in this with him sent a hitman to kill us, is the man that he sent was a homeless person that had a family that came to the city that didn't know anyone. And my mother, which drove a big Cadillac, wore dress and heels, always looked top-notch herself, which is how I learned to take care of myself. She would always go to the railroad tracks and under bridges to help the homeless. And he remembered seeing a picture of me in one of her stores.
Oh, my gosh.
And whenever he was sent to kill us at the hotel room and the gun with the silencer was laid on the table, he looked at me and he said, you're Tessie's daughter. I said, yes, I am. And he said, today I'm not going to kill you because your mother brought clothes and food and everything that we needed for me and my family when we had nothing and knew no one.
Oh, my gosh. Is that amazing?
And that's how God works.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, that your mother had provided a blessing for you and saved your life without even knowing it. Isn't that amazing that sometimes we do beautiful things or we help people? We have no idea how it might be able to come back to us later and support and help us. That's so amazing. I know that you went through this legal process, and I know how shocking that must have felt. Did you ever like yell at them, I'm not guilty. Like, this is not me. He's the one. Did you ever go like that? Or did you just listen to a lawyer who told you, shut up and let me take care of it?
Yes, I just listened to the lawyer because I thought he knew what he was doing. My family and I have never been involved in any kind of legal issues. And the oldest of eight children, and they, no one in our family, nowhere in the history of our family had we ever been arrested or especially something, a class A felon,
right,
which is capital murder, which carried the death penalty.
Oh, my gosh. And you,
and had I received the death penalty, which I could have, the jury could have given me that. That was one of the options. I would have been executed after I'd served 18 to 20 years. I wouldn't even be sitting here today talking to you on your show, Mary.
Wow. I mean, what you've been through is it's horrific that that could happen in our legal system today, that they wouldn't have done better checking, that they wouldn't have seen the character of that man and understood how he was manipulating a young lady like you. It just, you know, it just is so unbelievable. Well, when we return, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Judy Henderson, who's the author of When the Light Finds Us, a gold medal best biography memoir of her 36 years spent behind bars. And now she's making such beautiful things in the world. You got to check out her book, When the Light Finds Us, on Amazon. And we're going to talk when we come back about something most of us can't even imagine, her first night behind bars. Stay with us. We'll be right back. A word from our sponsors.
You're not starting over, you're rising higher. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner of the Mary Gardner Show, and we are talking to Judy Henderson. She's the author of When the Light Finds Us. You can find it on Amazon. It's a gold medal winner for her best biography and memoir. And we're talking about her early life. Of course, she was a child and a product of divorce, but she had abuse in her family. Her dad was an alcoholic, and she got used to seeing her mom being abused, so she became an abused woman. And ultimately started dating a man who framed her for murder. And so, Judy, this is a sad story and horrible, but we're going to enter and run into that first day that you got sentenced and you got put in prison. Take us back.
Yes. Whenever I was convicted that day, and it was so ironic because the judge himself even told the jury she was a relatively minor participant, which meant I was present. Mm. It didn't mean that I did anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they found me guilty of life, and I was sentenced to life without parole for 50 years. And I remember that day hearing my family, my mother just wailing and screaming. And I had to stay strong. I had to let her know and let her believe that I was going to be fine, that everything was going to turn out okay. On the inside, I was just in such enormous pain because I could not reach her. I could not comfort her.
Mm.
And then it didn't hit me until I went back to my cell that I would never be able to be in a family environment with any of my siblings or my parents again.
Or your daughter.
My children.
Yeah.
Yeah. My children, my son, my daughter, you know, that I would be put away locked in a cage forever. And whenever I got to prison, I was very, very angry, Mary.
Of course you were. Of course you had been treated so unfairly. You didn't have the right representation, and you were manipulated, and he paid everybody off. So it just shows that money does have power, and what a tragic. What were some of the fears that you had walking in that prison cell for the first time?
Well, for one, I didn't understand the language. Language in prison is a language of its own. It's like being dropped off into a foreign country and you don't know how to speak what they're trying.
It must have been scary.
You don't understand. Yeah, it was. It was very scary. And it's a very angry place. Everybody's angry.
Oh.
You know, nobody's happy. So everybody is out to get everybody.
And it
was like, what do I do? How do I survive?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm used to, you know, being polite. I'm used to smiling all the time because smiles, you can hide a lot behind a smile.
Did they smile back? Or how did you navigate that environment?
No, they looked at me like I was fake. And your kindness can be taken as weakness, which I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to navigate a world that I knew nothing about, of evil, of anger, of fear, and survival. I had to figure out how to survive. And unbeknownst to me, my co-defendant, he put a contract out on me before he went to, whenever I went to prison. He hadn't been to trial yet, so he put a contract out on me because he thought I might go back and testify against him.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to face the fact that another lifer had informed me that the person that I thought was my friend was, yes.
They became friends with you so they could get to know you, you trust them, and then they'd pop you off.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And she had been in the county jail with my co-defendant, and they had talked, and she was a career criminal. So this is something that was, you know, normal for her.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was a drug addict, and so I had to figure out how am I going to survive? What am I going to do with this information?
Oh, my gosh.
So as much as I did not want to, I had to have her come in the bathroom and I wanted to talk to her, but I was really going to beat her up.
Wow.
I was going to survive. I was going to live. And I was so angry about that and wanting to survive so badly because I wanted to go home to my family. I was determined to go home to my family.
Right.
I don't care what kind of sentence they said I had, I was going to fight. And not just literally, but I mean, physically, I had to fight.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. She carried a shank in her bra, and I already knew this.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was already aware that this was going to be part of my struggle.
Oh, my gosh. And what happened?
And I ended up getting the best of her. And you know why?
Why?
Because my ex-husband, whenever he used to beat me, I learned some of his moves.
Oh, my gosh.
Little did I know that the abuse that I suffered would end up saving my life.
Oh, my gosh, Judy. This is just horrific. Yeah. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I know it makes this story exciting and interesting, but you really had to suffer through that. But did you have any unexpected friendships or mentors that you liked or that changed you that when you were in there besides the woman that you...
In prison, you have associates. In the 36 years I was incarcerated, I had maybe three what I would call friends.
Okay.
Because you're constantly moving. They're shifting you from one unit to another unit or from one prison to another prison.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent to Arizona for 4 years for reporting and getting an officer fired because you had to do sexual favors for him.
Oh, my gosh.
To get your property, and that wasn't going to be me. So I had to figure out a way to get him out of the prison system, and because I did, I went to solitary confinement for a few months, and then they shipped me to Arizona away from my family.
Oh, my gosh. How did you protect your spirit? You could have been broken so easy and just give up. How did you protect yourself emotionally?
Because I realized, Mary, that there's two things you can do with anger. Either you get bitter or you can get better.
Amen. Amen.
And I chose to get better with how much I loved my family because we were very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And my children, I lived for my children.
Yeah, of course.
I had my daughter in dance classes. We did things all the time together. I was very much involved in their lives. And I was going to go home to them. I was determined to prove that I was not guilty of this murder.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I had to start learning politics. I had to start learning the law because it was a senior and the chief prosecutor that ended up becoming one of my strong advocates going to the governor in my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He was running for chief prosecutor. So I had to navigate and figure out how I was going to maneuver putting a team together of supporters and making this political because it was politics that got me there.
Oh, my gosh. And I know you did get a bunch of people that were supporting you for years and years. But how did you, was there a moment when you realized that you were just not surviving, but now you're growing? And were there daily habits that kept you growing, like in the same, so you weren't going insane, but you were sane and hopeful?
Yes, I became a certified, not just a certified paralegal because I wanted to know the law, but I also became a certified fitness trainer and personal trainer, and I taught all kinds of exercise classes from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. We started a program called Better Living Awareness Support Team.
Wow.
And yes, and that's what we did.
Well, that
and
had to keep your serotonin happy.
It did, very much so. And so I... ended up earning a lot of respect, one, because I fought in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They found out, you know, as nice and as smiley as she is and polite as she is, she has another side to her, so let's just leave her alone.
Watch out for this one. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, I know that you have survived and in such a beautiful, amazing, powerful, strong way. How did you begin helping others while you were still incarcerated? You mentioned that you got to become a paralegal. Were you helping others with that degree?
Yes, I helped several of them put their clemencies together. Another lifer, she got out after 18 years through Governor Matt Blunt, and he released her. She had to do 2 years on parole, but now she is an attorney.
Wow. So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that's so
she's
great.
Amazing. She came in as an 18-year-old, and I took her what we call under our wing.
Oh.
And that's where you take another lifer, and whenever they're young, you let everybody know, keep your hands off of her. Don't do anything to harm her. And so I kind of became her mentor and started with her clemency and talking to her family on visits.
Wow.
And she got out. She got, a lot of them got out before I did that I helped.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I think God had you there to help people, you know, sadly, you knew that you were strong enough. He doesn't give us more than we can handle. How did prison teach you about forgiveness, including forgiving yourself?
I had to, because you can't be angry and forgive somebody. That anger that you carry and the hatred that you carry just fuels anger.
Yeah.
And you want it to fuel it in a positive way. So I had to forgive myself for one, being so naive and so unaware of my surroundings and the red flags that I should have seen whenever I was dating him and I did not pay attention to. And then... And also, I'll tell you what else helped me survive is because I love my children. I mothered from behind bars.
Aww.
And I saw other mothers that did not know how to be mothers, so I started programs to help them.
Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing that you were helping people inside. You had ministry inside, using your heart, your hurts. And that's like when your mess becomes your message. And when you're a victim, you become a victor. And so you were the perfect example of that. And I just love the story. We're talking to Judy Henderson, who's the author of When the Light Finds Us. It's on Amazon. You got to grab it. Such an amazing story. When we come back, we're going to talk about Even in the Darkest Places, The Light Finds Us. Take a moment, listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back with Judy Henderson, author, expert, and amazing woman.
Sharpen your voice, refine your brand with The Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner of The Mary Gardner Show, and we are talking with Judy Henderson today, the author of When the Light Finds Us, a best-selling book. It's phenomenal. You can find it on Amazon. We're talking about how Judy was... Not illegally. They did it through the legal system. She was put in prison for 36 years and she was not guilty. And so she had to survive. She had to survive fights and all sorts of things. And just to catch you up, she turned her anger and her frustration into helping others. And Judy did suffer because the guy who put her in jail was a manipulator. He intentionally did it. But Judy, you just shared with me that the gentleman that was your person that actually murdered the individual that we were talking about earlier was acquitted, or actually not acquitted. He went to jail. Is that right?
That is correct. He did go to jail on another crime that he committed after he was committed of the murder acquitted of the murder. He ended up selling $250,000 worth of cocaine, which is a kilo, to an undercover FBI agent.
Wow.
And he did 4 years in the federal prison.
Well, I'm sad that it was only 4 years. Obviously, he was the one. He killed the person in cold-blooded murder. And you were framed. And, you know, hearing your story is just so, it does make you angry that these things can happen to individuals. And you have been not only a survivor, but a thriver. And you've helped other people that have been incarcerated for many years. Tell me about that. Are there still people that are behind bars and they're not guilty?
Oh my goodness, yes. I've got two clemencies into the governor, our present governor, right now, and I'm waiting two other lifers that I'm waiting to hear on. And one was just released December of 2025. That I worked on her clemency, and she did 30 some years.
Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
I was just extremely blessed to, I went through seven governors.
Wow.
The seventh governor, God's number of completion.
Amen.
Is the governor that came to the prison in his first term and gave me a full release and a full pardon.
Wow. That's so powerful. I know you've had so many advocates and you are helping people. What's the organization that when we saw you in that surprise event down in Kansas City, what's that organization called?
That was the Missouri Innocence Project.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So there were several
that's
people.
What we do.
That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've used your unfortunate story for good. And when did you realize that your story might help other people?
Well, I realized that whenever I was telling people about my story, mm-hmm. my daughter would tell them, and they would say, "Oh my gosh, you've got to write a book. You've got to talk about this, Judy.
Yeah.
You can't just lay this dormant. You went through this for a reason."
Yes, amen.
God got you through this for mm-hmm. a purpose. This mm-hmm. is your purpose.
Yes, yes.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to go through the pain of writing this.
Oh, how did you have the courage? I know you had to revisit everything.
I did. It was so hard, and it was very painful, and it took us 6 years to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I wanted it to be very transparent, very real. I wanted people to actually feel on each page that they read what it was like to be on that journey with me.
Oh, so excruciating.
And, so we did it very methodically and very very precisely as much as we could, as far as getting conversations correct, people, characters correct, and I think that we did a really good job.
Oh, you did. It's a fast read. It's a beautiful book. What does When the Light Finds Us mean to you personally?
It means to me that whenever, you know, beautiful flowers can grow in dark cracks.
Oh, yes, yes.
And whenever I was there, I thought, you know, there's so much light in here, but nobody sees it because of all the anger.
Yeah.
And so we have to start letting that light shine. We have to share it with others.
Wow.
And so that's what I did. I became, one, a secret Santa that nobody knew that I was the one.
Oh, a secret
all
Santa.
All those years. I guess I had little elves that would go around and take little gift cards that I made.
Oh, that's
and,
so sweet.
Just to brighten their days, just to get them to smile and know that people, somebody does care about you.
That's amazing. And it seems like that, you know, God always does make good things come out of bad situations. And he placed you as an angel in many of their lives, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure and certain so many of those ladies have read your book and are so proud of you that you've been able to go through this transformation. Who did you write the book for?
I wrote the book for my family. Mm. I wanted them to know. There's things in the book, because during my incarceration, we didn't talk about the crime. We didn't talk about, I never let them know about the hard stuff in prison. Mm. I did not want them to think that I could not be strong enough to do it.
Yeah.
That I was feeling pain. I wanted them to know, hey, I want every visit we have to be fun and joyful and pleasant. I want great memories from this.
Oh, yes. I love that.
And yes. And so then my daughter, she was not going to read it. Mm. She was not going to have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a minister friend of hers said, well, what are you going to say whenever people ask you about the book, what you think of the book? And she said, oh, I never thought about that.
Right.
And so she called me one night, on the way home from her office and said, Mom, I want to read the book.
Mm.
I said, seriously, Angel? And she said, yes.
Mm.
She read the book and she called me, well, at 2:00 in the morning. And she said, Mom, she said, I didn't think I could love you any more than what I already did.
Aww.
But she said, I cannot believe all that you suffered, and you didn't tell any of us about it.
Wow. Yeah.
And she said, I want to support you. I want to do everything I can to help you get this message out there, because people need to read it.
Oh, my gosh. And what do you want the readers to feel when they finish that last page?
I want them to know that God does not leave you where you're stranded at.
Mm.
That he always has a way out, that he's already given you all the tools and all the gifts that you need to survive whatever your situation is.
Amen. Amen. Well,
and,
yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, good. It's so beautiful that you're bringing joy to people in light of all the suffering that you went through. It's just so inspiring.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Mary. And my daughter and I, we talk together now.
Yeah.
We do, speaking engagements together, because it's important that people know what children of incarcerated parents go through, because children suffer.
Oh, everybody suffers. Well,
yes.
I want to switch over to a section, Judy, that I have called You Rock.
You rock, you rock, you rock, you rock.
And the You Rock section is in honor of my brother, Terry, who passed away several years ago. And he lived a very difficult life of scoliosis and pain and suffering. And he always was the biggest encourager. He always told me, Mary, you rock. You're awesome. You're rock. And I realized that encouragement is so important. And today I have a person, a very special person that I want to acknowledge. And before we wrap up, the person that I chose today is you, Judy. I picked you.
No.
That you're the person that rocks because you did not let your past define you. You rock because you turn pain into purpose. You rock for your smile, your courage, your faith, your work ethic, and the way that you show up for others. And you are living proof that light always wins. And I am truly honored to be your friend and to know you. So you are my You Rock person today.
Thank you.
So, and now I have to ask you, who is your person that rocks?
You know what? The person that rocks for me is my daughter that shows up all the time.
Amen.
She rocked because she was 13 whenever I left. She went to University of Missouri, Kansas City, UMKC, graduated summa cum laude, regardless of the obstacles she had to face. She raised two children, single mother, and worked at Mother's Refuge from part-time while she was going to college, and now she's the executive director.
Oh, and it's Angel, right?
Yes.
Angel, she's amazing. Well, this is so great. I appreciate everything that you've shared with us today, Judy. Thank you for reminding us that no matter how dark life gets, light will still find us. And I appreciate you that you remind us every day and people in your life that our past does not get the final word. And your story is living proof that even in the hardest seasons, God is still writing something beautiful. And there's a scripture I wanted to share that feels so perfect for today. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. And when you are tested, he will also provide a way out that you can endure it. And for anyone listening who might feel afraid right now, Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. So maybe today's message is simple, that you are not alone. Your story isn't over, and the light will find you. If Judy's story touched your heart and made you feel sure to grab, you've got to grab her book, When the Light Finds Us, and share this episode with someone who needs hope. And Judy, from all of us here, I love you. You rock. Your friends, you rock too. And go out this week, be brave, be kind, and be someone's light. Judy, thank you so much. I appreciate you. One last word before we sign out.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate you having me. Thank you for letting me get the message out there and letting them know how great God is.
Amen. Well, you are a beautiful soul. Thank you for sharing your story. If anyone wants to get the book, it's on Amazon. And we'll have this on this radio show on marygardner.com following this. And please share it with your friends who need some hope. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next time from the Mary Gardner Show. God bless.